These are monumental times in your life. And the names may be different from year to year. The faces may change. But God is still God. Amen? How do I know? Because on this same hill in 1984, the guy you're looking at right here bent his knee at the altar and gave his life to Jesus. And my world was forever changed. Glory to God. These are monumental times in your life. Don't take it. Have fun. Enjoy the friendships and the camaraderie and each other. But take advantage of what's here at night. Take advantage of what goes on when the Spirit is here moving in our midst. You know, we don't even have to preach a message because the gospel has been preached from the very beginning here in this house. I was so blessed by the two dramas that happened right at the beginning. Benson First Assembly, what a powerful drama. Don't think there wasn't some thought behind that. The Lord was saying some powerful things. And then Word of Deliverance, just amazing. Amen? Completely amazing. I also learned from Word of Deliverance how the youth pastors, if they want to let out a little aggression on their youth members, just write yourself as the villain in the script. Where's Trisha? Oh, praise the Lord. But it was great. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. It doesn't have to be next week, next year. Today can be the day that you begin to change the world. Amen? Oh, don't ever think about yourself as being young or too small or too insignificant. Today, tonight, can be the time that you begin to change the world. I just want to talk to you about my favorite superhero. Amen? I want to tell you about my favorite superhero. It's the son of Krypton. Come on. His name's Kal-El. It's not Batman. It's the greatest Superman of them all, in my opinion. My favorite. Not the Flash. It's Superman. The greatest superhero of them all. From my perspective, now I'm just biased. I grew up on Superman and not the flashy one you see on the movie screen. Now, believe it or not, I grew up with the black and white TV version of Superman. Bad special effects, if there was special effects at all. The Superman I grew up with, when he was about to leap into the air, they cut the camera. And then they show him landing again when they cut the camera back, right? But it was my Superman. He was faster than a speeding bullet. He was able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Come on, it wasn't a bird or a plane. Well, I feel it. Where's Lynn at? Well, I feel a little Lynn Howes getting on me. Well, glory to God. I ain't quite got the walk down just yet, you know. I'm still working on it. But I want to tell you about Superman because he's kind of fascinating to me, right? Now, I know that Gabe is going to fact check me the whole time I'm preaching tonight. But it's okay, brother. Just give me a little grace. I'll probably mess something up here. But just give me some grace. I want to tell you about Superman. The interesting thing about Superman, he's been around a long time. As a matter of fact, He first came onto the scene like 1933, somewhere in there. And he's been labeled as by this group IGN on the internet. Anybody heard of IGN on the internet? If you heard of IGN, raise your hand. Come on, raise it loud. There's my geeks and my nerds. Come on. I always throw out one nerd or geek reference to see where my fellow brothers are in the crowd. Right? He was voted the greatest superhero by IGN, and I happen to agree with them. But the interesting thing about Superman, he's been patterned after a lot of things. He actually was patterned after two figures. First, Samson in the Bible was part of the inspiration for Superman, and also Hercules, the great Greek superhero, was part of the mythos for Superman, right? But the interesting thing, two guys kind of came up with him, Jerry Siegel and artist Joe Shuster, right?
Correct.
All right. Now, here's the really cool thing about these guys, right? They were in high school when they created Superman. Now, how many of y'all in high school tonight? Raise your hand. See, you ain't got to wait. Superman was created by some dudes that probably was like me and bored with math class in high school, right? I was so blessed to get to go to a graduation. My brother's oldest daughter graduated this year, and one of the valedictorians got up, and I just chuckled. I thought it was so funny. He said he was given thanks for all of these things. Now, maybe some of y'all can relate, because believe it or not, when I was in high school, there was no internet. I know. No YouTube, no Google. There was no Facebook, right? Cell phones were about this big, you know. And if you wore a pager, you were a gangster. But this high school senior, he got up and he said he was given thanks for all the things that he had learned in high school. And then he said, I want to give thanks to YouTube because it proved I really didn't need that physics book. Now, if anybody can relate, raise your hand, right? Because there's a YouTube answer for everything, right? But these guys were in high school, and they created Superman. Now, most people find that amazing, but I don't. Because some of the most creative, powerful thinkers on the planet are right before me right now. Some of the greatest world changers, not tomorrow, but today, are right before me. And these guys in high school came up with Superman, and they were just crazy enough to sell the idea. And here we are, literally like decades later, right? And Superman has appeared in every form of media there is because of a couple high school guys. He's been in comics. He's been on the radio, in radio dramas. He's been on TV where I first met Superman. Of course, he's been in film, right? He's in video games. He's literally in every kind of media Superman is found. But one of my favorite iterations of Superman is the TV show that used to be on just a little while ago called Smallville. Anybody else Smallville fans besides me, right? I loved Smallville. Now, did I love Smallville because the acting was great? Not really. Did I love Smallville because of the special effects? No. You know, I loved Smallville because it was a teenage Superman. And he was struggling to come up with his own identity, to discover his identity. He tried to do right, but he didn't always get it right. He tried to do good, but he didn't always do good, right? Let me say it this way, he was a very human Superman. A As a matter of fact, and listen, now maybe y'all can correct me. Did he ever even learn to fly in the original? You know, he never even really learned to. Did he learn to fly, Gabe? In the last episode, when he finally became Superman, he learned. I'm gonna have Gabe just come up and help me preach tonight. I'm telling. When he finally learned how to fly, he became Superman, right? Now, that sounds, you know, the Smallville, I loved Lois because she always called him Smallville. Being married, leave it to a woman to keep you in check, right? I mean, come on, I know the feeling. It's, can all the ladies say amen, right? But check this out about this guy, he was real. I laughed out loud when he got into high school and he discovered girls. And fire shot out of his eyes. Now, come on. Hey, all y'all adults, it's okay. Just relax. I ain't going to go there. But that's kind of funny, right? I mean, come on, think about it, right? You know, discovers girls and fire shoots out of his eyes. And he was very human, but yet he knew that his destiny was more than this. He would try to do good and sometimes do good. He would try to do his best and sometimes he did bad. Kind of sounds like Paul in Romans 7, right? The growing process. Don't ever be afraid of the growing process. Fail forward. You're going to make mistakes. It's okay. Pick yourself back up and try again. Don't be afraid to leap over these tall buildings. Don't be afraid to run as fast as you can. Don't be afraid to embrace your true identity. Ah, glory to God. I got to have a drink of water. Hold on. Nothing worse than a dry preacher. Hey, now, it was a little loud, Curtis, on that amen there. So check this out. Check this out, right? I spilled half of it. What was Superman? Think about this. He gets shipped off of Krypton to Earth. And he doesn't have his natural father. He loses his biological father. He's adopted into a family of these mere mortals, these humans, to give him the compass for his life. I find it interesting that Jerry Siegel, one of those high schoolers who created Superman, in 1932, the year before Superman came out, his father owned a clothing store in Cleveland, Ohio. Part of the reason I like Superman, he's an Ohio guy, right? Come on. But a robber came into the store and gunned his father down and killed him 1 year before he created Superman. Now, Jerry Siegel never ever said that was the impetus for why he went and created Superman. But just think about it for a minute. Your father dies in a robbery, and you invent a bulletproof man who becomes the world's greatest hero. Even in the midst of great pain and great tragedy, something creative was birthed out in him. I heard someone say a long time ago, and I'm not trying to be real heavy, but I'm just going to tell you right now, God never wastes pain. And it's hard to go through it, and it's tough. I can't imagine losing my natural father or losing someone close to me, a brother, a sister, a great friend. But God will meet you in that place, and God will be with you. Because God never wastes pain. Now, before I get all heavy and everything, you know. The Bible also tells us, you know, hey, you may have 10,000 instructors when it comes to Jesus, but y'all don't have a whole lot of fathers. There's something about the inspiration that a father gives to his children. There's something powerful that a father passes down to his son or his daughter. Anybody ever heard of John 3:16, right? If you heard that, raise your hand. So y'all, we can all quote John 3:16, right? How many of you can quote John 3:17? Let me give you John 3:17. I love that one too. For God did not send his son. Let me say it another way. Papa, the Father, did not send his son into the world to condemn it. Think about that for just a minute. Father did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. I love that. And here's the reality. In the family of Christ, all of us, whether you have a natural father or not, whether you have a great father or you had a horrific, because some, I mean, trust me, I have dealt with some people and had to love some people through some horrific father experiences. But I can tell you something right now, you have a heavenly father. You have a heavenly father that loves you and cares for you and sent his very son Jesus for you, just for you. Let me read one scripture real quick. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5. Check this out. I'm going to tell you about the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14, if you want to throw it up, that's great. I'm just going to go ahead and read. Christ's love has moved me in such extremes. I read from the Message. I like the Message. It's kind of a cool version, so it's kind of cool. His love has the first and last word in everything that we do. Isn't that good? I need to read that one more time. I'm sorry. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. He has the first and last word in everything we do. Our firm decision is to work from this focused center. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. Guess what? We're all in this boat together. Come on. We're all in this together. So when Gabe, you're happy, I'm happy. But Gabe, when you're sad, I'm sad. And when you rejoice and when you have great victory, I rejoice with you. And when you hurt, I hurt. Because we're in this boat together. We need each other. We need one another. I need you. And you need me. Amen? Let me read on. Verse 15. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life. That just preaches for itself, don't it? That's so good. A resurrection life. A far better life than people ever lived on their own. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We look at the Messiah. We looked at him that once and got it all wrong. As you know, we certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, a created new. The old life is gone. The new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from God who sealed the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. Say it another way, Roger. God fixed it this way so that we could live in harmony this way. That's pretty powerful to me, right? Come on. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. I love verse 20. We were Christ's representatives. Say it another way. As Superman would say it, we're all sons and daughters of Krypton. We are all bought with a price. We may be living in this world, but our citizenship is in heaven. Come on. God uses us. Think about that. God uses you to persuade men and women to drop their differences and to enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ Himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. I love that. Verse 21. How you say in Christ, God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong, so we could be put right with God. I thought a lot about Superman and a lot of things you could say. There's so much cool stuff about him, but when Clark Kent, in the last episode, learned to fly, I guess, right? In the Superman mythos, when he went from his life as just Clark Kent, you know, the son of Jonathan and Martha Kent, and he got in touch with his true father, right? He learned of his true identity. It was a hard thing, and he went off by himself, according to the legend. And we all know that he ended up way in the North Pole and in a very, what we would consider an alone place. Hear me for just a minute, okay? I'm just about done. But he created this fortress of solitude. Think about this for just a minute. And I think that word solitude is not used as an accident. I have teenagers, and they're awesome. They're awesome. I love them, you know. They're great kids. And only thing wrong with my kids is that when they signed up for activities for the week this week, not one of them signed up for Bible study. I asked them, I was like, where's Bible study on the list? And Zach looked at me and went, really, Dad? We're going to get Bible study every night at the house? You're going to make me sign up for it at camp? And all the PKs say, amen. But Clark Kent, as he became Superman, as he began to discover his identity, he creates this fortress of solitude. Now, that word struck me today as I was praying for tonight, and that word solitude struck me. Check this out. I looked it up. And there's a difference between loneliness and solitude. Because I'm going to tell you, in your teenage journey, sometimes you just need to be by yourself, right? Mom, Dad don't need to be involved. I get it. You need some solitude. But God doesn't ever want you to be alone. And listen to me carefully. Loneliness is marked by a great sense of isolation. But solitude is defined as a state of being alone without being lonely. And it leads to self-awareness. Now, to me, that's powerful because you may need your space to grow, and we as parents need to give it to you. But you're never alone. We're always here for you. And if we can't be here for you, your Heavenly Father is always here for you. And the purpose of this fortress of solitude was so that Clark Kent could spend all this time with his father, who left all his knowledge, all his wisdom in one of these ice crystals, right? And whenever he'd put these ice crystals into this machine, his father would appear, and he could have conversations with his father. And when he came out of that time, do you know how long, Gabe, he, according to the comic books, how long did he spend? Do you know how long he spent in the Fortress of Solitude before he returned to Superman? Any idea? Just think on it, Gabe. If you get it, let me know. Okay? But I know he spent a length of time in this fortress of solitude. And when he came out, he was no longer just Clark Kent of Smallville, farmer's son. He was Superman. 15 years, Gabe says. I like it. I think there was a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus, right? And he had an experience with God, and he went away to his own fortress of solitude and spent some time with the Father so that he could. And he spent a few years as well in the desert and in solitude. And guess what he did? He wrote 2/3 of your New Testament. It's pretty powerful. Paul the Apostle, formerly Saul of Tarsus. Now, the cool thing is inside of every one of you right now, there's a transformation occurring. The reality of who Christ is and what he means to you is being formed and developed and coming to a place of maturation where you will bring forth all that he has. There's a great passage in Romans 8 that says, creation, the whole earth is waiting and they're travailing as if, almost as if they're giving birth. They're waiting for some of the sons and daughters of God to manifest. You see, you have a great destiny. You have a great destiny set before you. Let me use an example. You want to help me out? Is it Dalton? Dalen. Come on, Dalen, help me out. This is a good-looking guy right here. Look at this. Are you an eligible bachelor? Yes. He's an eligible bachelor. Good-looking guy, tall here. And so we're going to make you Clark Kent here. Put these on. See, I know. Don't trust me. Don't. I have old people eyes. But you see, Clark Kent, you know, by day he works and keeps his head down. He works at the paper and, you know, and he does what the best he can. But he knows that there's something greater inside of him. Because, see, Superman always drew his power from the sun. See, you need to learn to draw your power from the S-O-N, the sun, because it's inexhaustible. It's a resource that goes beyond imagination. And so he could survive in the day-to-day mundane existence of life until crisis occurred. And when crisis happened, the first thing that happened was the glasses would come off. Because he needed to be able to see with his real eyes. Oh, come on, help me for just a minute tonight. He needed to be able to use eyes of the Spirit to see what was going on. But see, even after the glasses came off, something began to beat in his breast. There was something, he always kept his true identity behind, hidden inside of him, right? And when the crisis seemed like it was at a point where it needed something bigger than humanity could face, guess what would happen? Come on now. Guess what would happen now?
Well, glory. Look, guess what would begin to happen right here, folks? Huh? The cape would come out. Come on.
And the cape would come on. Come on. And he began to put on the garment of praise for the Spirit. Come on, he began to draw from something within inside of him. He began to tear that shirt off, and the sun would be, that big S would be manifested right on his chest. And Superman would show up on the scene, and all would be well. It didn't matter what he would face. Superman was here to save the day. See, you may not have a big red cape and be able to fly around, leap over tall buildings, but I'm here to tell you something right now. You have a destiny inside of you, and it's bigger than yourself. You have a destiny inside of you. You have the S. You have the power of the S-O-N living inside of you. So when crisis comes, and it will come, draw from that which you have on the inside. Because Superman is here to save the day. on. Lord bless you. Amen.
Superman lives inside of you. Amen. How many of you are, feel like a superhero in here tonight? Come on.